What is this shift?
Yeah. Shift at the fan. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to our party.
Party has started and it keeps growing.
Yeah.
We've got Abracadabra, myself, Elias, and Stephen and Daniela.
Daniela La Guapa.
And we had an amazing start where we started with a meditation and centering into our body. Maybe we can add that into the end. So whoever wants to have a little meditation on the cards for themselves, maybe they can see what the cards tell them. We went back to the way we were doing it before, where we have the main card and then the hidden energy. So the first card we got was the star. And we drew with the Pokemon cards this time, which I think is pretty sweet. I feel like they've got a good depiction. And then our hidden energy is the tower, which I feel like these two are very in alignment. So anybody have any thoughts on those? What were your all's thoughts on it? Who wants to go? Who wants to talk about it first?
Okay, so as the one who I think probably knows the least about Pokemon here, I'll go.
How about that? I might have you beat.
It's like that that one news story, you know, where the black guy is misnaming all the Pokemon, and it's like that the other person is getting so mad at him. That might be me. Okay, so the star card, and I agree, Elias. I think these are really well placed together. I feel a pouring into, like pouring into the universe, giving, and then I see like an evolution or you know, a power up. I also think it's interesting that there's seven stars, and then the Pokemon in the middle, it would be like eight stars, so like prosperity in numerology. I'm also kind of drawn to it because seven is my life path number, so there's seven stars. And I also see it as kind of a collective movement too. You know, you have the butterfly that evolves, and most Pokemon evolve and change into something greater. But you know, you also have the collective of it as well. So that, but then I see, you know, kind of the other side of, you know, pouring into the universe and prosperity and just things working out. You have the tower, which is typically defense or like a stronghold or a system, but it's kind of in chaos right now. It's being broken apart and maybe changed or restructured, reshaped. There's fire coming out of the windows, you know, so things are being shaken up and it's not too pretty. And that's kind of the other side of prosperity and things working out. You know, we have to do the work. And I think we're also seeing it kind of played out in the world around us too. The shakeup and the chaos, and you know, people are just falling and flailing and unsure what to do. So yeah, I see them as kind of balancing each other out. The push and pull of healing and growth and coming together, unity, collective and individual evolution.
I feel like for myself, when I saw the star, like the star is the guidance. And what kind of came to me towards the end of my meditation was kind of the thought of like Jesus's birth, where the star is shown and then the wise men go to follow. And it kind of makes me think like, but when we have that star that's shown to us, that path or that light of what we're seeing out in the distance, we're not going to know the journey. We're not going to know where it's going or where it's going to lead us. And I think about that destruction of the tower and how we're going to have to leave at least some part of our old life behind. We're going to have to leave some part of how we were living to get to this new vision that's been placed inside our mind. And I see that with myself. You know, there was the vision that I've had. There's been so much restructuring going on in my life. And I question, a lot of times I question my own sanity and I question who I am. And I question why have I left these old parts of me behind. And in a lot of ways, I don't think we ever truly leave them behind, because they're always going to be a part of us. They're always going to be a part of who we are, and our past has made us who we are. So we'll always carry our past with us. But also, the past is simply a memory. It's something that has created who we are, but it doesn't necessarily need to define what we are and who we are, and doesn't need to define now. And so we can make those decisions on who do we want to be and what do we want to be and where do we want to go, and choose the different paths based off of an interest and a curiosity towards different experiences that we want to have in this life. So yeah, the restructuring is a huge part of that, of those visions, and the finding where we want to be and finding what experience we want to have in this life.
I feel like for myself, I also, the star and the tower card totally align with where I'm at. And as you're talking, Elias, I was like, you know, it really, it's where humanity is at right now on a large scale. Sometimes you can really see how people are trying to be so innovative and eco-friendly and like swing the pendulum back in the other direction, do more conservation efforts and all things that we have in the world that are so great and so amazing. And then we have other things like very angry and resentful politicians and spiteful, petulant world leaders. And you know, we have all this weird stuff going on that makes it feel, and so many, as so many religious faiths like to remind us, we're going towards the end of the world, end of the world, and things are ending. And I mean, as most of us know, in an infinite universe where things are eternal, right? There's no such thing ever as an ending. There's no like severance there. It's always just the beginning of something new. So I feel like it's just a common thread right now that a lot of people are kind of feeling inspired for a new life, but a lot of people are also like, this is it. We're going towards the end of it. And something you mentioned, Elias, about on, I think on the way down or something, like send yourself up, because we need, like we were saying last week or a couple weeks ago, that we need that trash to compost. We need to have that waste to renew the new, you know? God, I feel so silly talking on this podcast thing. Anyways, so when we're on our downhills, when we're on these crunches, these pressure moments where we've, I've been trying to remind myself right now, like I'm getting turned into a diamond, right? Remember that stuff, the pressure, the crushing, the difficult times in life. It's we, like if you're a little go-kart going up and down the side of a hill, you need to line yourself up so that gravity can do its thing and you're going downhill either way. There's no fighting it. Just line yourself up so that you're not going to crash into a leech and you know ruin your day. And then on the upswing, something that I like to repeat a lot is that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And that's what it is on the downhill. You have to prepare yourself for those opportunities. You have to line yourself up with what it is you want. You do have to sit there and question everything about yourself, everything you've ever done, ever said, or everything you feel that you stood for, even like those core pillars of who you identified yourself to be. Sometimes we do need to take them apart and dismantle and say, okay, did I like this as a whole? Do I like parts of it? You know, what do I want to keep here? Because none of us, not the earth, not God, not the universe, not anything is ever stagnant, is ever stationary, is ever not changing at all. We're constantly having to, even our old ancient ruins, like the Colosseum, like we're constantly having to rebuild it. So we forget that we have to do that for ourselves. And it's funny when we have to do that for ourselves, we feel like it's something wrong. We did something wrong. We were going in the wrong direction. We were doing the wrong things. And I don't know, those journeys, those experiences, like you were saying, they made us who we are. They shaped us into the person that we are here now. We needed to go in that direction and create that waste so that we could then, you know, turn bank off and turn into this direction instead. So sometimes it sucks when it's happening. And I think right now a lot of us are feeling that pressure phase, but if we line ourselves up to what we want to be ultimately in the end, if we just remember that this pressure it ultimately can only turn us into little diamonds. Like, that's the worst thing this pressure can do. Like, it cannot destroy me. I am infinite energy. I can only come back renewed and with a greater understanding. So it's hard to remember when we're like having those really rough days, but it's nice if we can make the habit, I guess, to start to remind ourselves, like, yep, this is us swinging in the other direction. What is that?
I love that all the star you look like little diamonds out there.
Oh my gosh, they do all look like little diamonds. I didn't even notice those were star yous.
Yeah.
I've been just trying to be my supportive best friend, my own supportive best friend lately, and just remind myself, like, okay, like, it's just pressure. It'll help turn it into something more. And that's also, I don't know, society and politics. Like, we can't let the people that are obsessed with the end of the world, like, we can't let those people control the narrative and decide that's where we're going. It's very important for us to remind ourselves and everyone around us in that way that we've seen plenty of dark days before. We'll get through it and we'll come out better for it. It's just we have to remember to get through it, to stay, I guess, keep momentum, to keep going so that we just don't run out of energy to keep moving, so we don't become stagnant.
Something that going back to this idea of like the world is ending, something that I've really appreciated about alchemy and what I've learned from alchemy is just the symbology and how we can take all these things that we think are going on in the world and create them as symbols for ourselves. So the end of the world is happening. Well, that's happening all the time right now. Like we're constantly in some sort of death, of some sort of change, of some, the end of the world as we know it, that song. And so that's something that I've started looking at too, is like the coming of Christ and the symbology of that, of have or and having that be a symbol for me now, or life. So in my religion growing up, there was this idea of the celestial kingdom and heaven, and why do I need to wait for that to happen after my death? Why can't I bring heaven into now? And so just bringing those symbologies into our own lives of what's our guiding star, and how is the structure that I think is myself, or that I think that is my life, how is that starting to crumble, or what can I give up? How can I bring that tower down a little bit myself so that I can see that guiding light for my life? What direction do I want to head in? What direction is being called to me? And what voices can I listen to, especially those inner quiet voices? How can I better listen to those voices and know which direction I want to go in?
Oof, that was beautifully said. But, yeah.
And just looking at all of these Pokemon in here, noticing the different things about which Pokemon are being used, like for the tower, especially
Does the power one look like?
the tower, which has got it's
Okay.
got Nidorino, it's got
I need a queen. Need a king?
Nidorino. Yeah, I was looking to see if he was wearing a bra, because Nidoqueen has the bra, because it is purple, right? And I thought Nidoking was.
I don't know.
Anyways, but
Oh, and
the
his crown fell
crown
off.
fell off. And normally you find the crown at the top of the tower. So it's like this guy's crown is the one that fell off. And, one is the evolution of the other. And then you've got Giratina right here. And I can't remember which form that is, but it's the scorpion form, no legs, which might be the natural form. It's the altered form is the one with the legs. Not that I know anything about
Say Pokemon
Pokemon. Yeah, so it's like, I'm just seeing like because, one is the evolution of the other, but it's also them that are falling out. Well, I literally just watched Twitchy's video of this yesterday talking about the tower and talking about all things built and ego must come down. Like they will fall. The falling away of the ego, the falling away of the old stuff. And I love that there's like two different evolutions of the same Pokemon here, and one of them's losing their crown in this. I'm trying to figure out like why Giratina would be at the bottom though. It's so perfect, it's so like
Is it a
relevant.
poisonous scorpion or poisonous Pokemon? So could it be said that like a tower built on poison falls, or like you said, like ego, like the poisonous aspect of the ego falling?
But that's like what I'm looking at is like it looks like Giratina is what is waiting at the bottom of this fall.
New beginning. Does
If that
Giratina
is,
eat Pokemon, or do you think she'd save them?
I think it could go. So it's like one of the most dangerous Pokemon. So it just adds another element of the darkness, I think, of what, because it also looks like Giratina's fallen, you know, Giratina on their back. Like everything's fallen. So maybe it is, it's like that the most ego. It could be the most ego. I just love this, the imagery, what it's like bringing up, because it's like it's adding another level of depth, like different levels of, you know, your own evolution and what that old stuff is falling into. Because this morning, right before getting on here, I'm like doing my own journaling and trying to sort out my thoughts about something that I have just heard, and what I need to do, the key to my own self-worth. It's tied to my dad and my relationship to him, because I'm like, we're the same person. I keep finding more and more things about, you know, what I've inherited from my dad. So looking at, okay, so where's the key there for me? So just starting that, being in that inquiry, I know that as soon as I start the inquiry of something, it's gonna fall away. It's something's gonna be revealed, which is so perfect that, you know, the star is coming out of this. And it feels like all of this has to break away so that things can be revealed, so that things can be shown, things can be new. 'Cause I keep asking, what am I still hiding from myself? I can feel that I'm, you know, there's always something hiding. So I'm looking like, okay, what's hiding right now that I need to look at right now? And right here, I remembered the bird is fletching, evolves into a little fire bird.
Oh, okay.
You got Lil Punny, you've got Beautifly, the diamonds, Jirachi is the main guy, the star. Well, actually, Lil Penny's the main guy. I love that this makes the star into a character, like the usual tarot card. You don't necessarily immediately think, oh, that's a character.
It's always like someone looking up at the star as
Yeah,
opposed
exactly.
are being an actual character,
A star is a thing, right? But now it's actually a little being, which I love, because that's one of the things I've been getting in this in the last 3 days in my own process of shedding away the stuff that's been keeping me in the old ways, keeping me stuck, limiting myself, is that I was like, well, I like to name everything. I like to name my monsters, every little aspect of myself, all these things. And I'm like, all I'm doing is creating Pokemon. I literally just said that. So I love that you both were like, I want to pull from the Pokemon deck today. This is like more confirmation, because this is what I do with the things that I feel weight to. I give it a name, I give it its own little identity, so that I have something that becomes like this little stuffed animal or whatever it is, a little creature that I get to hold until it transforms or feels fully seen and valued and heard, so that it no longer needs to be in the form that it is. It can either dissolve or it can transmute or transform into something else, which is very Pokemon like with their evolutions. So it's so funny that this is all really, really personal here for me. I mean, we just went through a portal. It's time. It's time for change. Whoever, you know, was taking advantage, whether consciously or unconsciously, things are shifting, you know. because of what you were talking about, Daniela, the way that things are being portrayed in the media, in the news, social media, it's all you see is the stuff, the heaviness, all the things that they want us to feel.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to tell us this is happening. We're headed into an economic crisis. We're headed into this huge, I don't know, financial downturn. Like, it feels, I don't know, do I become more paranoid and conspiracy theorist as I get older? Or is this just a stupid, like, if we believe in manifestation, then why are they trying to manifest this? It's the message is wrong. It's, hey, we may be producing less this, so this year we need to focus on this, or we should do this. Like, it's just such a pessimistic, like, ah, everything's going wrong.
Yeah, well, they do. They maybe not, manifestation or whatever, but what do they call it? And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Yeah.
So they program the prophecy that they want fulfilled.
Yeah, it's target fixation. During World War II, this term was coined. It's used a lot in motorcyclists right now, where if you focus on something, like say you're trying to avoid hitting a truck, so you focus on that truck because you're trying to go around it. 9 times out of 10, these people end up hitting the truck because it's target fixation. Where you're focused on is where you're gonna go. So if we start letting these, I mean, what are they? What do you call doomsayers?
Naysayers, doomsdayers, yeah,
Yeah,
it's all the
those
same.
whatever terms we have.
Apocalypse, yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know what you call them,
The
yeah.
four horsemen, whoever these people are, they've always existed. It's always existed. Like, and it's a personality trait. I've noticed it a lot in my previous place of work. And I think it comes from trauma in younger life and just from feeling like things never got better, so things are never going to get better, and then they get stuck in that cycle of repeating it all the time. And like, I don't know, it's everything. It's children are not safe today, and then you look up statistics where you're like, well, statistically, more children make it into adulthood today than they did in the 80s or 90s, like, or 100 years before that. Like, statistically, no, we're much safer, but their personality, how they feel, like their outlook on the world tells them, no, everything is getting worse, everything is bad. And it has to do with outlook. So if we can help, well, we have to worry about ourselves, obviously, but if we can help change people's outlook, we can help change, I don't know, the chaotic direction that we seem to be going in.
Well, you just gave more context to this, the tower, right? The same repetition that gets us into a mental mess is the repetition that will get us out of that same mess. And so they know that by repeating all of these things, and so you need repetition and you need intensity, or like you need it to have an impact if you want to change. So they're combining the two with the fear and the repetition of the same things over and over, and then the confusion with having it be something different every single day.
The us versus them attitude, like two different
Yeah.
sides getting two different stories, it's confusion,
Exactly.
division, all these things. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
and it's just the context that makes it either us or them, but it's really top versus bottom, which
Yeah.
is the small top versus everybody else at the bottom. We're all saying the same thing so much of the time,
Right.
but just with the enemy in mind.
I could definitely relate to what Daniela was saying about the trauma thing, because when I was, before I went heavy into addiction and mental health and everything, my family's very religious. Those ideas were acceptable to me because I was in survival mode. I couldn't do anything but just survive and take what works. Now starting to heal and grow out of that survival and trauma victim, all those mindsets that come along with that, I'm starting to realize like how fucked up certain things and my belief system and my family's belief systems and these things that I never realized. They were totally acceptable until I started to wake up and recognize, peel back some of the layers. Like for me, the first thing that came back after addiction was religion. Like I thought I had a religious experience. I thought I experienced salvation, all these things, and so I dove head in. This is me now. I'm diving head in. I researched the Bible, scholars, and then the more I did that, the more I was able to peel that layer back and go outside of that and kind of, recognize it for more of what it really is. And I see, like, same with politics, same with like government, all these issues that are going on. We have to peel back the layers and step back. Like, it's all just suppressing us, keeping us from talking to each other and communicating in real ways. And so, yeah, I think kind of like we said last night, this is the collective. We are the collective and we are making that shift happen. We're shifting ourselves, we're having these conversations. Yeah. So
Shift yourself, you shift the world.
that's it. Yeah, really.
Going back to what Avra was saying about just this outlook, one of the things that I've thought of is like there's always been this end of the world ideology in our head. There's always been a restructuring of societal structure. There's always been like the cultural shift. There's always been wars. There's always been economic downturns. There's always something that's pressuring us. So the tower, like that change, the only constant in the world is change. Like that's basically what time is. If there were no change, there would be no time. There would be nothing to further along. But going back to what she was saying about repetition and intensity, but then also this idea of confusion. So confusion creates a cognitive dissonance. And it's something that I use with the body work that I do. If I can create a little bit of cognitive dissonance in someone's mind or their body, then it opens them up to be able to say, oh, wait, maybe that wasn't the truth, or maybe that wasn't what I thought it was. And so if you can create that confusion in your mind and your body, then you have an opening to start to say, well, how do I want to see this differently? How do I want to restructure this? And if somebody else is using that on you, if they're creating your confusion, then they have that opportunity to say, oh, I want to implant this idea in your head. Oh, this is what's really going on. But we could do that for ourselves too. Recognize where are we confused? And how could I confuse myself to break the patterns that I've had? How can I confuse myself to break the patterns of addiction or whatever behavioral patterns that are going on in ourselves? And then find those opportunities to bring repetition and intensity of the behavior or of the ideology that we want in our lives, so that we can reshape our life in the way that we want to and have our body work for us. The reason we have repetition and intensity is so that our body can go on autopilot and the behavior just comes out automatically. And the limited amount of consciousness that we have can be focused on other things. Like we don't have to consciously think about walking or about other,
Driving.
or all these different, or driving, or all these different, things that we do on a daily basis. We don't have to think about those. We have all this other capacity to put the limited consciousness that we have towards something else. And so I think that's a beautiful way of like, yeah, they are doing that to us. They are creating that in our news, in what we are getting fed in the society, in our culture. But if we can recognize that, recognize the confusion, or recognize the emotional stress that brings up anytime we have some big emotion come up, it's going to start bringing in more chemicals in our brain to learn new patterns, to new learn to remember what's happening in that moment, and then just recognize that, oh, hey, this is happening in my mind, in my body. How can I shift that? How can I look towards the star that I want in my life, the ideal that I want in my life, and bring that out and repeat that thought or that behavior or that whatever it is, so that we are restructuring our own life in the way we want, rather than letting somebody else do it for us, or letting whatever's outside of us do it for us.
I brought up driving. I don't know if I ever said it on the podcast yet, but some of y'all know the story. Like, I blacked out for like 2.5 years, in 2014 through 2017. There were times when I would just wake up and wake up to an empty house, and I was a caregiver and a nanny for two boys. And I would wake up and find an empty house, find that the car had been driven, because the hood is warm, not knowing like where the kids are, finding out that they're already dropped off, and the only way they could have gotten there was me, so like I'm thinking like our autopilot, like we really aren't needed, like to for this body to function with all of the memories and all of the patterns and all of that we have. It's like we the, so that tells you that there is a we, that there is a me somewhere in there, separate from the body, because the body on its own will do the automatic thing to just survive or whatever's programmed. I think about that a lot. That just you just reminded me of that. It's like what is it that we are bringing to that? Where are we gonna disrupt patterns that were built for us?
Literally everything is programmed into us. Like, I don't know when the last time you guys hung out with newborn babies was, but literally they don't know that they need to sleep when they're tired and they'll fight it. They don't understand that eating will satiate their hunger and they'll fight eating. It's this. When we fear things, we reject, right? The opposite of love is fear. The opposite of acceptance, really. And I guess love is acceptance. And oh crap, what were you saying? You reminded me of something. I don't know. It's normal for us to reject what we don't know and what is new to us. But oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We have all of these things programmed into us, and we don't even realize they were programmed into us. I was talking to a friend the other day. And I told her that I was like, I don't really believe in gay people, just like I don't really believe in left or right-handed people. Like, I know that the preferences exist and the titles exist that we give them here now, but ultimately, so much of it is conditioning. How can we really know what is naturally us? Because to be left or right-handed was aggressively taught to us in school. I remember my writing was very rigidly controlled by some teachers. Like, even if my cursive letters were connecting in the wrong places, like I'd be told, "Well, just don't write your name in cursive." It's so you're just taught to obey. It's not even that you're taught to write. It's not even that you're taught life skills. It's that you're taught to obey. And that's how adults will value new humans. They say, how compliant and efficient is this new vessel? Which is a really fucked up way of doing it when we're all measuring them all up against one basic thing, you know? Because I definitely, to me, we're all constructed of energy, right? So we all have the same awareness behind our physical vessels. Maybe we have different capabilities, but to me, the awareness that powers me is the same awareness that exists in my dog, is the same awareness that exists in the plants around me. I mean, I even go through my like Marie Kondo talks about like treating things with respect, thanking them for their service, and like letting them go. And I think there's a lot of great value in that because this has awareness also. It is individual awareness. Just because if we say that we believe everything is God and God is in everything, then that includes these inanimate things that we sometimes will treat like crap or whatever. So I don't know. That was my rant.
No, that's an awesome point. That's something I would like to do more of, is just taking that time to honor, honor what's around, and not just I'll have gratitude for my food, but going beyond that, where did it come from? How many hands did it pass through? Bless those people, bless the animals and the plants and all the things that go into making our lives work, trying to be conscious of it and bless it. Absolutely. Yeah, I align with that for sure.
More intentional with finding the good stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we break our patterns though, like we will go so far back to the point where you start just to question everything. Like we were saying earlier about kind of like rebuilding your pillars or whatever. There's like something as simple as, am I left-handed or right-handed? Do I actually like potatoes? Do I need to actually eat three meals of this many calories per day, and does it have to be made of this exact thing? Can I possibly have, developed in a country, in ancestry where maybe eggplant isn't my best food, where that kind of irritates things? Like I don't know, we want things to fit a little standard so often. Society is when I say we, that we're just pushing everyone into that mold and breaking so many parts and pieces along the way. And then the rest of us, like, we may limp along if we made it in the mold and we're like, okay, cool, we can function in society. And some of us will find that we really struggle to piece ourselves back together, to put ourselves back together before we can find the place that we do fit in. So yeah, I don't know. I think the tower, it's a really on point card right now for the whole rebuilding of yourself, like you were saying about your dad and your self-worth is tied up in your dad. I was like, man, I've been having a lot of thoughts about him recently that I hadn't been th having in a while. Like you're saying, Stephen, about
You're
realizing.
thinking about my dad?
Yeah, well, like you were saying about your dad, Abra, and then
Yeah.
you, Stephen, were saying about how you found like your family had all these beliefs that you're like, oh, I don't think that I align with this. Like, we need to take ourselves apart sometimes and put ourselves back together. Like, and that's the tower can be scary if we look at it with fear. But like we were saying, like I was saying earlier about lining yourself up for the right thing and, making sure that you use the downhill to your advantage, you can, I don't know, you can make the tower a positive experience. You can say, okay, cool, I'm gonna focus on that pillar because that's clearly my worst one right now. I'm gonna make sure and take that apart and really do a thorough job in rebuilding it. So I don't know. It all seems very apt, and I hope that society kind of also does the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that right now. People, I just watched a video yesterday. I don't remember if it's on TikTok or on Instagram. Somebody talking about we have to start questioning all the dumb things, all the dumb rules that have just been imposed on us. Like, question everything, because there are so many things that we just do automatically without thinking about it. Like, why do we buy cars?
Yeah.
That's a huge part of the DEI movement, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, the pride movement. What that's really doing is it's really just getting people to question the status quo. And there's no, especially if you look at pride, there are some instances where you can clearly say that that's genetic. Someone's born without a part. But there are mo the majority of the pride people in pride that you can't they haven't proven that someone has a gay gene inside of them. They feel like they are gay, and they are following that feeling inside of themselves. And so what that movement is really saying is giving people choice to live the life that they feel called to live. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think that's a beautiful thing to say, hey, you want to live this way, and that's okay. You're not harming anybody. You're finding that love and peace within yourself, and you should be able to pursue that. The pursuit of happiness was the whole huge life pursuit of life, something and happiness. What was it, Daniela?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole principle of founding America, and so Can we bring that in our own selves? Can we liberate ourselves and find that freedom to make the choices that we want, choices that are in alignment with others? Not necessarily that they need to agree with our choices, but that we have that when we interact with somebody else, that we are interacting with them, respecting their decisions and their ability to make choices. And I think that's the beauty of what I see and that's happening in society with a lot of these movements. And there's a lot of threat to that because a lot of people don't like that. They've grown up, like you said, with you must be right-handed. You will have to, oh, you're left-handed. We got to fix that. We
You
got
have
to.
the boy, and a boy has to be this way, and a girl has to be this way, and only boys and girls, and it's weird.
We like the norm, but we were trying to break the we're trying to we're questioning that of maybe that's not how we need to be.
Well, like what Aida was saying about questioning Av oh sorry Avra about questioning all the rules. Well, like I think about this all the time whenever people bring up the trans conversation. I'm just like, look, I think in a perfect society, we wouldn't have any elective surgery. There would be no such thing as a surgery just for aesthetic or cosmetic reasons, right? It would only ever be medically necessary. Oh, I think, but also because we have this society that deems certain traits to be so high value and certain traits to be so unwantable, that rejectable, actively disliked, then people feel that they have to have cosmetic surgery so that they can feel more comfortable existing in life. And some people go so far as to, make permanent markings on their body, and these are all just different forms of body modification. This is all just different ways of adorning and embellishing my avatar, and it has nothing to do with anything or anyone else other than my own free will and autonomy. So why the fuck is it even up for conversation that a law should or should not be passed on it? Like, we agree to live in these societies together, right? But what is the other option? Do we agree to live in society together, or do we have no other option? There is no neutral territory where people can just exist free of government overrule. And our government is just the strongest gang, the gang that honestly played their cards right, did things the way they needed to, and now they've made themselves the official control. We are sitting here asking, like, oh, good for you, you get to live your life the way you want. Like, crazy that we've gotten to the point that we have those thoughts, that we would ever say, like, good for you for being yourself and existing as you want to be. That is how we should exist. There, no one else should have that right to infringe on these, I don't know, natural freedoms and abilities we should all have. But I don't know, I'm just a passenger in the society.
You're talking about the norm. The norm is based on a straight cisgender white man.
And
And
it's
that's
not the
what's,
norm. It's never been the norm.
I
Like,
know,
they're just
there's nothing
doing
normal about that. Nobody should be like that, except for that guy.
it.
It's the minority. It's not the norm. But
Yeah,
that's where
the
we,
minority with the loudest voice.
yeah, that's where we define
Right.
what neurodivergent is. And what nothing, nothing else fits the norm because it's not norm.
It's no, it's not. And that's, I've been really reframing how I say and how I think, and mostly just the words that I'm using to think about stuff. No more, it's a man's world. Like, because it isn't. Maybe currently here now in society as it is, because of patriarchal norms, like there are certain advantages that male vessels will have over female ones. But honestly, like, there's tons that women get all the time just fine. And matriarchy exists. It's just somehow I don't know, submissive right now to patriarchy, but I don't think that it'll stay that way. I think eventually there'll be balance where matriarchy takes a little bit more control, more power. But saying things like, well, of course they said this because I'm just like, make these little jokes like, I'm just a girl, I'm just a woman. Of course he'd say that. Like, I'm just not saying that anymore because I am actively rephrasing how I say things and how I repeat things and the things that come up in my mind, even because I think that if, like we said, if you shift your mind, you shift the world, I'm trying to be the change. I remember this came up the other day when I was thinking about racism and just how, God, it's got to feel so impossible to be like a woman of color, like noticeable, especially black color in America. In America right now, I mean, although it's been so crazy and hectic, but I was thinking just how difficult it must be, but it also is so largely just your mindset, just how you see things. Because there are plenty of people of all kinds of colors and all kinds of genders, of all kinds of backgrounds, at all places of the hierarchy. Granted, a lot of people do have a leg up. That is the most people that are up at the top of the 1%, like those people had a leg up. That's how they got there. But people that make it financially well, people that make it socially well, people that are rich in family, that have their best lives, like these people are from all walks of life, all colors and ethnicities and I don't know, genders. And the glass ceiling is the glass ceiling that we decide it is. Like it's where we decide it is. Granted, I don't know, there are obstacles. There are so many additional obstacles. I do know this because like I can move my glass ceiling, but obviously if my management sees women as subpar, there's only so far I can go in that specific group.
Elias has to go.
Okay. There's only like so high up I can go in that specific group. But that doesn't mean that that's my only opportunity, right? I can continue to say, well, my glass ceiling's over here. So if this is as far as I can go in this place, clearly I need to go somewhere else. It's all about, I don't know, it's a lot about how we also choose to see the world. It's not all about, because I don't know, being told every single day you're not enough is exhausting, and you can definitely feel like you're not enough,
That's the key to why my dad is the key to my self-worth. You need
Because
a
he always,
man.
yeah, I was supposed to be a boy, and I think the part of me never got over that.
Well, there's a, I was thinking about that when you as you were talking, like, this conflict that we have, even the idea of identifying what's male and what's female, what's masculine and what's feminine. Right, even in energies
Yeah.
and those, definitions sometimes spill into each other, or they, they're different from belief system to belief system. So it's sort of a vague thing too, but that's sort of the thing that I think is the issue with the view that people have, like their fight against pronouns. Their aversion to it, their resistance is that it goes against what they were programmed into. And, and then the other side, the ones that are fighting for different pronouns are really just fighting for what's natural to all of us. We're all fluid. We're all, there's a Bible quote, and I don't remember which one, talking about how to get into heaven is like when you stop being male and female, both.
Unity
Look at
consciousness
Thomas.
requires that.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus says it. Don't be either one and you're gonna get into heaven. Then you've gotten it right. And yet, there they are fighting for male or female. It has to be rigid. It has to be white male. It has to be, they've even made Jesus white, right?
Yeah,
To
whitewash
fit
the whole
that.
religion.
You have to
Yeah.
rewrite everything. You have to rewrite all of what's natural to create what's natural and normal.
Yeah, lots of artificial overlays. I think that's another kind of like to use the Bible as a reference, like it's multiple different places talking about like bringing the children to Jesus, and like you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven unless you are taking on this identity of a child. You know, like children aren't worried about roles or, you know, male, female, any of that stuff. They're just being kids, playing, having a great time. You know, it's only later that all those things really become ingrained and separate.
That reminds me of this book that I've been reading, The Ecology of Freedom, where it talks about children, of indigenous cultures and how we used to be, or certain tribes used to be, where like the parents' love for a child or the mom's love for the child is so unconditional that it wasn't dependent on whether or not the child loved her back. And there was a lot of freedom. There wasn't any correcting the kid. You would honor his expression no matter what, or something like that. That's the way that I remember it. So really, a lot of things are reminding me, a lot of things that we've been saying are reminding me of this community that Yuval Mann and Twitchy, which have been sort of co-creating with the rest of us and inviting people to reinvent, to redefine what society's going to look like, what communities are going to look like after the fall of the empire. Because otherwise, we're just going to go right back into an empire because we haven't solved the issues of what we think are man and human and normal and the white man, essentially. Like what we've been trying to fit everybody into, and sort of honoring, learning to honor again humanity as non-hierarchical, as one with all that is, and learning to let go of all of that, the needing leaders and needing people to guide the way or to be above another, somebody to be above or below.
Yeah, the thought that a hierarchy should even exist, or that it does exist, it's one of our biggest downfalls. And I don't know how to, it's so hard to break people of it. Sometimes even people who I've had conversations with, a person who thought he's very like spiritually advanced and very like, oh no, nothing about like racism or sexism or things like that. But I remember he just would sometimes think of certain people as really stupid. And I was like, that assumes that you are less stupid, more intelligent. And I just don't think that is quite what you think it is. Like that's also God, unity consciousness, right? Think of it as less intelligent, less capable, less than of you. I don't know, we have these hierarchical things everywhere, across everything, not only like socially or financially, but in a lot of things, like in intelligence, or sometimes even people do it when they're like comparing trauma, like, oh no, mine was worse. I recently had a conversation with someone like this. It was like, oh well, mine was, and I was like, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't know, I won't know, never will know. But please understand, like, the same page, like, you'll never know that person's also like, why compare to see what's bigger? Which mound is bigger? What is that?
Yeah, and then we try to find those same hierarchies in nature. We give that, we perceive it in, certain apes or monkeys or whatever. We perceive it happening everywhere where it's not really happening. Just because that's how we are, we compare it to us. And you made me think of that. There's two things. The subconscious only recognizes you. So whatever you're saying about somebody else, you're saying it about yourself. And that's why it's you feel what you feel whenever you speak crap about somebody else. But there's the other part where whatever you're saying about others, you're saying about God as well. So it really doesn't serve us to talk crap or have negative thoughts or think that anybody's beneath us or above us or all that
Yeah.
when we're all one.
If we can remember that we are one, if we can stay in that mindset and stay conscious of it, like I know we slip out of it, but then we wouldn't talk to people the way we do. We wouldn't treat people the way we do. We wouldn't cut people off or almost run them over on the side of the road or, I don't know, get angry at traffic like we do. We would, I don't know. A lot of us don't value our own lives very much, but I think if we started trying to value others as much as we value ourselves, we would just improve the way we treat the world.
Well, I think that's why we don't value ourselves, is because we're so conditioned to look at the other and compare them to us. And every time we do that, we disintegrate.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah. Makes sense.
I think that's a good place to wrap up. Because we
Yeah,
could keep
that's
going.
that's for sure.
Danielle is going to finish a blanket by the time we're done chatting all
I
this.
wish. Start on some
What was I saying? Oh yeah, wrapping up because of a blanket.
I see what you did there.
I see. I figured out what I did there too. So, Elias says bye. I love that I still had people to talk to after he had to go, so we wouldn't feel so rushed. Because I could feel that we still had more thoughts, and I have a lot more thoughts because all I ever want to do is talk about Palestine. And my approach to my healing through how to heal that. But that will be for another day. I
Part
think
two.
that'll be maybe next week, because I think that's one thing that's needed and wanted in the world right now. A lot of people are suffering, and I think it would need more than just a last minute thought. It needs its time, its space, its love and attention, and yeah. So to be continued next week.
Tune in next week
Yeah.
for Shift Hit the Fan.
For Shift Hit the Fan, that's right.
All right. Thanks for chatting, guys. I had a good time.
Yeah, thanks for being here, both of
Absolutely.
you.
Good talk. Love y'all.
Love you, and
Bye.
see you next week.
So let's start with a little meditation. So just start with feeling into your body. Find your center. Find yourself grounded into your seat. Just relaxing into whether you're lying down or seated. Relaxing into whatever is holding you up. Feeling that support. Feeling a sense of relaxation in your body, but also feeling a sense of connectivity. Connecting your head to your neck, to your shoulders, to your arms, to your hands, to your back, your chest, your belly. Your hips, your legs, and your feet. And taking a deep breath, just letting yourself sit in that power that lies inside of you. Not a power that forces, but a power that power of existence, a power of being connected, in a sense, a relaxation that you know that you are whole inside of your body. And as you sit in that feeling, bring your mind to the cards that have been drawn and to whatever they might bring to mind. allowing your body and your heart to speak what it needs to speak. Back to allowing us to connect together again.
Let the shift hit the fan, let the shift hit the fan.